Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com. It has been quite a weekend. Tons of results, lots of new champions. So, of course, we have a whole ton to talk about. I couldn't do this by myself. As always, I'm Chris Justy, the web admin. I have along with me Jerome Cusson, our senior editor, who was at probably one of the funnest shows this past weekend. Jerome, how are you doing, man?
I have a little bit of a cough, and that's not good. The wrestling was good. I saw a lot of wrestling this weekend, both live and with NXT. Some really good stuff all across the board. And we're going to talk a lot about some fun things in AEW, some interesting things in AIW, and some more shoots in Beyond Wrestling, Chris. We've worked ourselves into a shoot.
We absolutely have. But of course, there's some other stuff. There is some results in the women's wrestling world, which we will have Ciara run down. Ciara, how are you doing?
I'm very relaxed.
That's always good. That's always a positive. And then, of course, Brian DeBrain is with us. Brian, the man who I'm always jealous of because he gets to see PWG live. How are you doing, man?
A little tired from work, but still I ate a lot over the holidays, and still kind of recovering. And I watched a bunch of movies the last 4 days, so you should go check out Creed and Good Dinosaur if you want to have a good cry at the movies.
You know what you shouldn't go see? Mockingjay. Do not go see that movie.
And yeah, the cinematographer for that movie should be fired, or should have been fired, because that movie had a lot of gray and a lot of like very dark images. Not very appealing to the eye.
Right. That's why I'm saying not to go see it, because of the production.
You guys are being mean to Mockingjay for no reason. It was perfectly fine.
No, it was not. But we're not here to talk about that. Let's talk about some real things that happen that go on in professional wrestling, because it's all real, guys. It's all real. Speaking of this past weekend, of course, check out pwponderings.com/results. We have tons of them. WrestleCade, PWX, Beyond Wrestling, AIW, AAW, Queens of Combat. It's all the Ring of Honor Super Shows with Preston City Wrestling. And yeah, go check that out. But we're going to start covering some of the major shows. And I guess, you know, in our session of Pour One Out or Pop the Champagne, we're going to start off with AIW. Hell on Earth, it happened on November 27th. Lewis Lindenfein, Alex Shelley, Gregory Iron retained the Intense Championship over Davey Vega, basically using kind of a, I want to say, what was it? The
cocaine.
What was Yokozuna's, I was going to say cocaine too, yeah. Whatever Yokozuna's manager's name was, I was going to say using that gimmick, but I
it's
screwed that
Fuji
up.
Fuji and the powder, that's what it was.
There we go. We have Candice LeRae pinning Josh Daniels, Eddie Kingston pinning Josh Prohibition.
Josh Daniels? Alex Daniels, Chris.
Alex Daniels, I apologize.
Josh Daniels, it's not 2003. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm looking at some of the results from Beyond Wrestling, Jerome. You might not know that's not
2003. Wow.
Yeah, we're going to take that there. We're going to get into that later. To Infinity and Beyond retained their AAW titles over Hot Sauce Entertainment, Tyson Dukes, and Tracy Williams. Tim Donst tapped out Chris Hero. Dick Justice defeated Jock Sampson. Ethan Page defeated Ricky Shane Page to become the new AAW Absolute Champion, throwing a fireball in Ricky Shane's face. I mean, guys, how more old school than that can you get? And that's gonna be the first one that we talk about, the Pour One Out or Pop the Champagne. Jerome, I'm going to go to you first. Ethan Page using a fireball to become the brand new AAW champion.
I mean, I think we've got to... I'll pop the champagne for Ethan Page becoming the new champion because he's really good at it. And hopefully now that all of his border issues have been resolved, hopefully we get to see Ethan Page on a full-time basis. So that's good. For the fireball portion, let's pour one out. We don't need fireballs in 2015. There are some things on this show that were a little annoying, and this is one of them. Fireballs, powder, you know, I don't know if we need this. Like, it's just, it's not 1985. Let's stop this. Let's have good shows. You know, I don't know. That's sort of my position. So, Paige is good. The fireball is bad.
Well, I mean, hey, why don't we just kind of combine the two? Gregor Iron retaining after the use of powder, so you're basically pouring one out for that as well. Is it because it's 2015, it's a different era in wrestling? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, and that's basically it. With, you know, I love Gregory Iron as a manager. I love Gregory Iron as a personality. I don't think he should be the Intense champion. Like, I just don't think that he's the person that you want holding a major singles title in your company, especially when the Intense title has sort of been the workhorse belt of AIW with guys like Lewis Linden and Davey Vega, two very underrated guys. And, you know, AIW has a lot of very underrated, talented performers on their roster that can be holding this title. And Gregory Iron just isn't that guy. You know, again, Gregory Irons has got a lot of strengths as a performer, and he should absolutely be a major part of any wrestling company that, you know, needs a good heel manager or needs a guy who could cut a promo. I mean, that's what Gregory Iron does best. As a singles champion, though, I have to pour one out big time.
Ciara, I don't know how much AIW you get to watch, but in terms of wrestling, Ethan Page using the fireball to become the brand new AIW champion and then the use of powder to retain a title from Gregory Iron, pour one out or pop the champagne?
I actually like Absolute Intense Wrestling. I actually watch it often. I wanted to pour one out because I feel like so far, after so many years, you don't have to use these things, but it gets people talking, you know, that, oh, GCM used a fireball. But when I read that he used a fireball, I immediately thought about that time Kane threw a fireball in China's face. Like, I don't want to remember anything from like 1998 WWF. Like, don't give me those memories or flashbacks. And with the powder is, it just feels so. Something you would see on AWA back in like 1982 or World Class or something. It just, it's very old school feel, but in some cases there is argument that some old school stuff can be used in today's world, but at the same time, it's just some things you need to leave back then. And I feel like the matches could have been fine without those tactics, but I guess it was to get everybody talking, and we are talking about it.
Weird. That is a true statement. We are definitely talking about it. Brian, you and I think we agree on a lot of things when it comes to old school wrestling. We've watched a ton of it. But, yeah, your thoughts on the use of fireballs and powder in 2015?
I thought it was cool that Ethan Page for one night was both the simultaneous AEW and AIW champion. So shout out to Ethan Page for that. And I guess it kind of sucks that he lost the AEW title the next night, but that would have been cool of him, you know, carrying like both belts and maybe even doing like a cross promotional thing, but I guess not. So politics, you know, but the idea of like, cause AIW, I think like they have good intentions with their booking sometimes, but like, they just seem to be like, so like way off the mark. I think like, especially when they're booking like Bunkhouse Buck and Colonel Rob Parker, like, I feel like he just, you know, they just sat around and watched like a bunch of, you know, YouTube videos, were like, you know what? Let's book these guys. I've been watching their stuff lately. And that's the only reason why. It's not like they're a draw or anything. I don't know. And then this kind of thing of like using the powder and like the fireball, I feel like, again, they were watching some YouTube videos about classic wrestling and were like, yeah, we're going to do this because no one's expecting it. And it's cool because it was old school. But, you know, it's really kind of like almost antiquated, I think, just like, you don't have to do that. You could just do a simple like interference or like, you know, grab the tights, that kind of thing. You don't need to do something stupid like that. And especially powder, it's like, come on, man. We know already. I mean, goddamn. Powder is such a bullshit like finish in like old school wrestling anyway. I never like powder finishes. So, and at least with a fireball, it's like a fireball. Ooh, you know, it seems like it does hurt. But yeah, just not a fan of it. So I got to pour one out on the booking in terms of like, you know, the powder and the fire, but I'll pop champagne for Ethan Page winning the title because now he can be like the top heel in AIW, which is kind of cool because he seems to be like one of the bigger stars anyway, especially with his presence online and Twitter and everything. So he kind of has that presence. So it makes sense. He's got kind of like this following right now. So he got to ride that way while he can. So pop champagne for Ethan Page being the one night double champion and pour one out for the booking.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have the same sentiments. It's just odd to see that kind of result. Granted, AIW, you know, if you're going to be different, then you got to try something. So I'm not going to say like, oh, you know, just be completely down them for trying it. But it is kind of weird to see that. So again, probably agree with you guys pouring out for the booking, but popping the champagne for Ethan Page becoming the AIW champion. In terms of Greg Rion, I do agree with Drum that the Intense title is kind of the workhorse, kind of like what the Intercontinental title used to be. But I mean, I will say though, if he's just having kind of a run right now with it, and we'll see what they do, and if it helps build to something, then maybe it's not necessarily bad. But I agree that it should. It's not like Iron should be the champion for a long time. So let's move on. And I did make that kind of comment about Beyond Wrestling. They held their tournament for Tomorrow 4 over the weekend. Lots of fun results from there. Night 1, you saw Donovan Dijak defeat JT Dunn, Matt Tremont defeat Jonathan Gresham, Team Tremendous defeat the Throwbacks of Dash Hatfield and Mr. Touchdown, and a special guest referee match. I'm sure everyone wants to know the result of this, with Matt Riddle as the special guest referee. Eric Dreamcatcher Spicely defeated Chuck Cold Steel O'Neil. That's right. Those are their name nicknames. And if you've ever seen them in MMA, they're not too bad. But in wrestling, I'll wait and see. As I said, you can see all the results up. I'm not going to run down all of them. But for the singles block, you had Brian Fury, Leo Rush, Ryan Galeone, and David Starr make it in the singles tournament. And then for the tag team tournament, the Hit Squad. That's right. Dan Moff and Monster Mac. Doom Patrol of Chris Dickinson and Jaka, EYFBO, and Kimberly and Shinron all advanced. And that goes into night 2, where we saw Donovan Dijak defeat Chris Hero. Brian Fury won the singles finals, and the Hit Squad won the tag team finals in 2015. Jonathan Gresham defeated Moose, Black Baron, and Charade. Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy, and Swamp Monster, the Gentleman's Club, defeated the Viking War Party. We also saw... We saw Joey Janela defeat JT Dunn, Matt Riddle, Chuck O'Neil, and Eric Spicely defeat the Amazing Gulaks and Tracy Williams. We saw what apparently it was a pretty fun match between Stockade and Matt Tremont defeating the original throwbacks of Sugar Dunkton and Dasher Hatfield, which then led to Anthony Stone defeating Mr. Touchdown. And then at the in the main event, the Crusade for Change defeated Team Tremendous, Dick Justice, and Officer Cole Cabana. So this is going to lead into the pouring out and... You know, actually, I'm gonna start with Ciara for this, just because I'm not entirely sure what she's gonna think of this. Brian Fury winning the singles tournament and the Hit Squad winning the tag team tournament. Are you gonna pour one out or pop the champagne for either one of those?
I'm gonna pop the champagne because it's not predictable. It's different, and those names you don't really see often, especially the Hit Squad. I haven't seen that name much too often lately, but it's completely different. Brian Fury, he's a name that's out there, but I feel like he gets lumped in the back with a whole lot of people. And I feel like he still needs some type of recognition. He should be getting some of these matches and bookings just like everybody else around him, but it's hard when you get so many promotions booking the more notable names and he gets pushed in the back with everybody else. But I like it. I don't have a problem with it.
I could agree with that. So you're popping the champagne for both. And
yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. No, I mean, I could see it. Brian Fury defeating a younger guy, Leo Rush, David Starr, who's... I mean, he's a name for sure. He's getting his name out there. Ryan Galeone as well. Jerome, the Hit Squad, you and I are probably very familiar with these two. Brian Fury, as we watch more Beyond Wrestling, we slowly... grow more, I guess, I don't want to say fond of him, but I think he's a good wrestler. You popping the champagne or pouring one out?
I'll pop the champagne for Brian Fury. I think he's a really good talent. This is sort of like a lifetime achievement award for Mr. Fury for all the work that he's done for Beyond Wrestling and training some people in the New England area. As far as the tournament for tomorrow, the tag team edition, I'm going to pour one out. It's not that the Hit Squad are bad, it's that you've got so many other great young teams and duos that you could have used to really sort of push them forward in Beyond Wrestling, and they're not necessarily going to do that. So I'm going to pour one out for the tag team, and I'm going to pop the champagne for the singles.
I think that's pretty fair, though. I mean, you look at what they've been doing in Beyond. I want to say they even were in Beyond in... 2014, but I know that they've defeated like the Hooligans, the YFBO. I think they were kind of feuding with Team Pazuzu and possibly also Crusade for Change. So I think there's a story here somewhere. I'll probably have to go back or actually watch some of the current stuff. Of course, you can all check that out on Beyond Demand. But I mean, I have to see what Drew's doing here. But Brian, the Hit Squad winning a tag team tournament in 2015, man, that's happening.
You know, I wouldn't be, like, so upset, not upset, but, like, disagreeing with the decision if it wasn't called Tournament for Tomorrow. And Tournament for Tomorrow is supposed to imply about, like, these are going to be talents that you're going to be watching, you know, in the future, and that these are going to be up-and-coming talents. And you gave it to a team that's been around for, like, 15 years, man. It's kind of like, I don't know, if this was, like, a different name, that I'd be totally cool with it. But if you're going to promote it as a tournament for the youth and the young talent, then, I mean, maybe... maybe that's not what it really means, but I mean, the way it seems like it was originally started, as I remember, like the Tournament for Tomorrow started back on YouTube to like promote younger guys, right? And then kind of evolved from there. And it's just so weird. Like, I don't know. I guess there is a storyline probably that we just don't like. Because I mean, I just watched my first Beyond show and I've seen random matches here and there with a review last week of Gurr. And because I will eventually sign up for a 2-week free trial or the 99 cent thing or whatever on Beyond Demand. So I did see some match listings of, like, having to Hit Squad. So I'm pretty sure that there is a story here that we just don't know about because we don't watch as much. But at the same time, it's, like, Tournament for Tomorrow. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I gotta pop champagne for Brian Fury because I saw his match last week, my first match of his, and he was really good. And he seems like a guy who, from what I've heard, is training a lot of talent in the area. So in a promotion that doesn't have a singles title, it's nice to kind of give a singles award to a guy who really deserves it, not necessarily give him, like, the top singles title. So it's nice to give some accolade there, but I gotta, you know, pour one out for the Hit Squad. No offense against the Hit Squad, it's just so, like, random, and it's like, God, it's 2015, and we keep saying that. It's like a recurring theme on this podcast, but it's true. It's like I guess Chris was thinking it was 2003 for some reason, but it's 2015.
I will say that, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we can go back and watch and see what Drew's doing with them, and then maybe it'll be, oh, okay, we kind of get it. You know, because it doesn't always necessarily come across. You know, we don't know the story of the match, how it was played out. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think pouring one out for the Hit Squad, just because, as you said, the Tournament for Tomorrow should be to showcase the younger talents. And maybe it did. So maybe more people will check out the show because of the Hit Squad and go, oh, okay, now I see what they're doing with some of these younger guys. But that remains to be seen. As I mentioned, Jerome, you were at one of the funner shows this weekend, the Windy City Classic 11 from AAW. And, man, I want to run down the results, but I'd rather just hear you talk about it. How great was this show? From all the vines, the images I've seen on Twitter, it seems crazy.
There were a lot of first-timers at this show, and there were a lot of... It was completely sold out. There were about 400 people in the building. It was the first time AEW had ever run the city proper. They got really lucky with the weather. We've had a pretty mild fall so far here in Chicago. There was a little bit of rain, but overall traffic was not that much of a problem. And one of the things that AEW has been really good about the last, you know, 8 years or so is they have run a show the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and it's really the perfect time because in a place like Chicago, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do on Thursday and Friday. You know, people take care of their shopping on Friday. And this year, the people were doing protesting on Friday, so there was that. But on Saturday, I think people are sick of their families, and that's when AEW really steps in and they run their show. And the fact that they were able to do it in the city proper this time brought a whole new audience of people, I believe, to this. And that's really great. I'm really happy about the fact that they were able to sell out. The fact that they were able to run the city proper is a really big deal. And just a lot of really good vibes even before the show started. I mean, this was supernova vacancy. Every seat was completely full. You know, the balcony was... There were people on the balcony. I mean, it was just super no vacancy. There was not a space to be found in the Logan Square Auditorium. And there was a lot of really good stuff. You know, there really wasn't a bad match on the show. There was a ton of great energy. One of my biggest complaints about Bourbon Street is that there really isn't a lot of energy in the building, and there was this time. Just as has been the case with a lot of the Chikara shows, the crowd was as good as, if not better, than some of those Chikara shows as far as, you know, making a lot of noise and really being into the show. And if you see some of the videos on the Vines, I think that is going to be reflective of that. So a lot of really good stuff. So why don't you run the results down real quick, Chris?
So yeah, it sounds like it was a really fun show. I mean, Jerome, do you want me to just run down all the matches? Because
with the major happenings, of course, it was the AEW title changed hands. Eddie Kingston won a three-way match over champion Ethan Page and Trevor Lee. Brian would really like the one of the falls here. It was elimination. Trevor Lee tried to lock in the small package, and Ethan Page broke it up, and he sat on Trevor Lee and got the three count. Brian, your thoughts on that?
So let me get this straight. He rolled, like, Eddie Kingston over?
Yes, small package, Tim.
Exactly. Oh, my God, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's, like, one of the best three-way spots you can come up with if it's an elimination spot. So whoever thought of that spot, good job. Good job, because that's – I've never even heard of that kind of spot before. Have you?
No, I haven't. It was really great. And if you watch a lot of Trevor Lee matches and you know sort of his history with the small package and using it basically to win a lot. And you know what Trevor Lee's biggest problem in AEW is? That he cannot use the small package driver as his finisher, because that is actually Shane Hollister's finisher. And it's sort of like one of those – it's because Seth Rollins used it in AEW. You know, Shane Hollister is, you know, heavily affiliated – with him, so he can use it, but Trevor Lee really can't, so he doesn't really have a finisher in AEW yet, so that's something that he is going to have to work on, but he's gotten himself super, super over as far as, you know, connecting with the crowd. And Brian, I will point out that he does come out to Taylor Swift, just as, I believe he does in PWG, correct?
Yeah, or not, is it Taylor Swift? No. In PWG, I think it's Katy Perry.
Yeah, it's Katy Perry. It's Alien, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a song, whatever it is? That's Taylor Swift, isn't it? Boy, no. Do I feel like an old man now talking about
the Alien is Katy Perry, so.
It's not Alien, though.
Oh, well, then he might come out to a Taylor Swift song. That's true. Yeah.
Maybe he comes out to different themes in different areas, man.
I want to say, actually, that you're probably right, Jim, because I think he comes out to Taylor Swift in, like, Cedar F. Mid-Atlantic or PWX. And so, yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Regardless, Trevor Lee has terrible taste in music.
That's obvious.
So then after
the Taylor Swift fans that we have are just turning us off right now. Thanks a lot.
Don't be surprised. So, of course, a new AEW champion. Sami Callihan ran out immediately afterwards to a huge ovation. And that was a really big deal. I think the match that most people were looking forward to, of course, Chris Hero and Pentagon Jr. This was a match that did not go. It went 12 minutes. It was a sprint. The crowd was into it the whole time. These two guys pretty much beat the piss out of each other, and it was spectacular. I mean, if this is a must-watch DVD just for this match alone, there really isn't much that can be said about it. I mean, those two guys, they just killed it, and the post-match was really great. Chris Hero went to shake Pentagon Jr.'s hand. Pentagon Jr. turned heel. He threatened to break Chris Hero's arm, and then Phoenix made the save. Phoenix, who had lost to Tommaso Ciampa earlier. So Phoenix comes out, makes the save, and he does two huge dives over the guardrail about five rows deep onto Pentagon Jr. and basically challenges Pentagon Jr., for the next time that they're both in Chicago. So that's going to be a really big deal. The crowd was all in on those two. Phoenix also got to say motherfucker this time and did not have to apologize to the crowd. So he also had that going for him as well. But yeah, this was just a really fun show. Fun fact about this show, Tommaso Ciampa had a flight out of Chicago at 9 p.m., he went into the ring at 7:12, was basically out of there by 7:40, and he was able to make his flight so that he could wrestle at Progress the next day. He may have suffered a concussion and probably suffered a broken nose. But that is the life of Tommaso Ciampa. The match was really good. He and Phoenix got into it. Phoenix dropkicked Ciampa very hard into the guardrail, and that's why Ciampa suffered some head injuries. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, every match on this show was really good. Jake Crist was retired. They had a nasty table spot. You could probably see some of those vines as well. There were a ton of videos taken at this show, so you could really see a lot of what happened. And I certainly hope that AEW goes back to Logan Square Auditorium soon enough.
I mean, I was just pretty excited for your description of Russ Jones. That's probably one of the better tweets you've ever made, Jerome. I'm just saying. But yeah, no, it seems like a really good show. You had Gregory Iron defeating Christian Faith. Lewis Linden defeated Alex Shelley. As you mentioned, the AEW tag title match. And yeah, Kongo Kong apparently winning a six-man mayhem match. Davey Vega defeated ACH, and Marcus Green and Shane Hollister defeating Cage and Tyson Dukes.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you, Chris. Kongo Kong, I'm not being sarcastic. I am being 100% serious when I say this. Kongo Kong needs to be booked in PWG next year. There is no argument that I will listen to otherwise. He needs to be in PWG next year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hearing that he was one of the better things at the Global Force Wrestling promotion, which, yes, Brian, it is technically a real promotion. It does exist. We have to acknowledge that. We'll be mentioning a title change there that already happened. But, yeah, let's actually, Brian, I'll just start with you. For Pour One Out, Pop the Champagne, Chris Hero defeating Pentagon Jr., and then Eddie Kingston winning the AEW heavyweight title just to be immediately set up with a program with Sami Callihan, which was obviously big news returning to the independent scene.
I'll pop champagne for both because the results for both matches were stellar and the angles coming out of it really set up the next show. So pop champagne for the booking. But, man, I really wish Pentagon Jr. went over, though, because I feel like he should be your strong heel, like being built up. And it was kind of weird to see Phoenix lose, too, and you kind of built up a match between two guys who just lost. So that's the only gripe I kind of have with it. But other than that, you know, I mean, I can't wait to see the show. I mean, Pentagon Jr., he's intense, man. Seeing him live all these times already, it's just so intense to watch him because he's got this aura around him when he's in the ring. It's like you don't know what he's gonna do. You don't know if he's gonna like brawl with the guy or if he's gonna go technical like he did with Zack Sabre Jr. You just never know. And then Chris Hero doing the half face paint was pretty dope. So really, really excited for that match. So pop champagne for the show overall and the two matches. And I guess pop champagne, like bonus pop champagne for Sami Callihan coming back. And it sucks, though, because like, I kind of wanted an extended program between Eddie Kingston and Trevor Lee, but I guess they're switching gears now that Sami Callihan came back. So maybe they'll kind of transition Trevor Lee and kind of feud with Ethan Page a little bit to set up like maybe a number one contender, and you can say Ethan Page deserves to be the number one contender or that kind of thing, and then just build up to two individual singles matches. And then from there, hopefully Trevor Lee becomes number one contender again, so... I hope to see Eddie Kingston and Trevor Lee tear it up one more time down the road, probably early 2016.
No, I was actually going to say the exact same thing. And I actually like you look at the roster that AEW has right now. It's fantastic, man. Like, I mean, you just throw in Pentagon Jr. or Phoenix just as extras. But without them, I really dig AEW's roster. It reminds me a lot of some of the past wrestling that I enjoyed. So AEW doing some really great stuff. With Sami Callihan returning, you know, obviously that was kind of the big news. He asked for his release from WWE. So the former Solomon Crow already back in AEW and making some big waves there. So Jerome, you got to see it live. So I'm assuming with everything you said, you're popping the champagne for both of these.
Yeah, I mean, this is an easy one for me. I thought both decisions were really good. I'm not personally the biggest fan of Sami Callihan, and we could probably get into that conversation soon enough. But Sami Callihan has done his best work in AEW, I think, particularly the match with Shane Hollister, the last man standing. He also he's done some good stuff in the past, and I'm hoping that his time in WWE has made him a better wrestler. You know, there's a lot of guys who have gone in and come out a lot better. You know, even guys like Chris Hero and Matt Sydal, who were really good before, but they were still pretty... They got even better afterwards. So I'm hoping that's the same thing with Sami Callihan. It's going to take a lot for me to really get into his work just because I have no idea how long he's going to be a part of... You know, I don't know. Who knows how long he's going to be a part of independent wrestling? You know, there's a lot of rumors surrounding, you know, Sami Callihan's future destination, you know, maybe possibly going to Japan. You know, who knows where he's going to end up, but I think it's a smart move for AEW to book Sami Callihan and Eddie Kingston. You know, many of us on this podcast may not be the biggest fans of Sami Callihan, but there are a lot of people that are fans of Sami Callihan and who are going to pay money the day after Christmas to go see Sami Callihan wrestle Eddie Kingston for the AEW title, if that's the direction they choose to go into. You know, based on what happened, you know that that's where they're going to be headed. You know, if not in December, then in January for sure. And it's a smart move. I mean, I think it's going to draw some money. And there's also that possibility of them doing Ethan Page and Trevor Lee as well. There's a lot of different directions they could go into. And you know, at the next show, they're going to have Michael Elgin and Davey Richards there. So AEW's not missing a beat. And they're doing a lot of really positive things. So I'm really excited to see what happens, you know, if Sami Callihan is sort of a short-term person. I think that's a really good move just because, you know, you've got the opportunity to put him in some dream matches and, you know, see what he's all about. And if he's around for the long term, then, you know, you could start building some storylines around him. But we'll see.
Sarah, your thoughts on Chris Hero defeating Pentagon Jr. and then Eddie Kingston winning the heavyweight title just to have that run in from Sami Callihan?
I'm going to pop the champagne for this because, I don't know, like, Chris Hero and Pentagon Jr., I just knew they were going to have a good match. And Pentagon Jr., it's kind of crazy that, you know, in the past couple of months, he's gotten, like, this popularity on the independent circuit, especially from Lucha Underground, when I've been knowing about this guy being so good and incredible and for years down in Mexico. So it's kind of cool that they're doing that, and especially with Phoenix, and everybody's really getting into the luchadors and the Lucha Libre style and wanting to see that more on independent shows. And it's a good look. I hope we see more of it in 2016. Eddie Kingston winning, I like that. And, of course, I wish they were going to go with Trevor Lee, but at the same time, it's not like they can't always put him back in there, you know, and they have to find a way to bring Sami Callihan back into their first time I see Sami Callihan, I seen him in AAW. So that association is going to be obvious for me to be like, well, why isn't he here? So what better way to bring in the big guy back into the promotion that he was the big guy in than throw him right there in the title picture? So I like how this is going. So should be for some good matches and some good shows right there.
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm pretty excited for the AAW's roster. I'm digging what they're doing. So other results that happened this week, the Queens of Combat 7 took place. We saw the tournament semifinals and finals to crown a champion. Tessa Blanchard defeated Jessica Havoc, Taylor Hendricks defeated Candice LeRae, and then ultimately Taylor Hendricks defeated Tessa Blanchard to become the first Queens of Combat champion. Ciara, this being the women's wrestling, of course, I think you could probably tell us a little bit more about this, but you also mentioned some breaking news that you wanted to talk about here on the newscast. So have at it.
Yeah, I've got some breaking news, but before we get there, let's talk about Queens of Combat. They started their women's tournament, I want to say, a couple months ago, I want to say, back in July, and they rounded all the way down to this past weekend where they had Taylor Hendricks defeat Tessa Blanchard in the finals, and she's the inaugural Queens of Combat champion. I don't know. I don't know if I like the decision per se, or how this tournament went. I like that they've got some names in this tournament. I like that they have Taylor Hendricks. Tessa Blanchard is upcoming. I like that they had Havoc, your Candice LeRae's, and, you know, Barbie Hayden's and whatnot. Everybody that we all can recognize in this tournament. But one thing with Queens of Combat, it's one of those situations I have a hard time getting behind this promotion because the booking is so weird to me. Like, they'll have like really big matches book, and then some of the other matches are just like pieced together just to fill out the undercard. So maybe next year they will pull me in more. So they kind of remind me of when Shine first started their first couple of pay-per-views. They kind of were doing the same thing, but eventually, they're going to have to get a hold on that, especially if you want people to actually pay attention to this and not think that this is a one-off women's show that happens on a random weekend that High Spots puts on. But I like that. Taylor Hendricks, she's underrated necessarily, but she's one of those names that you see wrestling all the time, but not be put in title matches. The only time I can think of last seeing Taylor Hendricks challenging for a title was back when she was wrestling regularly for Ohio Valley Wrestling. And after that, she got signed with TNA, and we all know how that deal went. And she hasn't really been brought into other promotions, and I've been questioning that for a long time of how come she's not used in Shine Wrestling as a regular or brought into Shimmer or.
Well, she is part of Ring of Honor, Ciara, so I mean, hey, that whole Women of Honor thing, that's going to get off the ground.
Well, before they decide to, you know, realize there's other genders except for one. There's a whole bunch of Northeast promotions that could bring her in, and I don't know, she just kind of gets left in the shadows like a lot of girls, and so to see that she's going to be their first champion, I think it's a good idea, but again, their booking is so weird. I honestly thought Tessa Blanchard was going to get it because she's kind of a regular around in the, you know, North Carolina scene, especially wrestling for PWX and stuff like that, so I figured they wouldn't give it to her, but they went with Taylor Hendricks, and I mean, why not? So, the breaking news. Ak Yasukawa is retiring from professional wrestling, and I guess I might as well just go ahead and say, since Kat is out the bag, I've been knowing about this for months, going back to maybe July. Ak Yasukawa has been having problems with her eyesight since the whole situation with Yoshiko back in February. I've been told that she might be going blind in one of her eyes. So imagine you go get surgery on an eye that you've been blind in most of your whole life to correct it. And then you get in a ring with somebody that you don't realize that you actually pissed off, and they pummel you in the middle of the ring and re-break your eye. And your eyesight is fucked up again. That's what happened to Ak Yasukawa. And even though she still continued to train, got back in the ring, because she refused to quit wrestling. She loves wrestling to death. The courage and strength of that woman is amazing. Anybody else would have stepped away. She still got back in the ring 6 months later and still manages to wrestle, even though she can't see that well. And now I think she finally feels like her eyesight might be getting worse. She might feel like it's time to let it go. And it's really sad that this woman was, back in February, a world title contender and had all that ripped away from her. And now she's got to retire. And it's, I don't know. It's just, to me, I'm just like, I'm really perplexed that this shit has happened. I can't believe this stuff happened in February, but just to see the fallout from it, it's really sad. And I'm going to have more in-depth details about it in the Ring Bells Roundup. And like I said, since Kat is out the bag, hopefully I can go in more depth about what's been going on with Yasukawa for the past several months and put it all out there. Another thing with Stardom, Santana Garrett is the new Wonder of Stardom champion. Yes, she has 9 championships in total, folks. Her first Japanese title. How amazing. So she's like one more title to be Ultimo Dragon. And
I was just about to say that. I was just about to say that. She's the Ultimo Dragon of women's wrestling right now.
And I don't know about anybody else, but that fucking scares me. Like, what? Like, can you give some of these titles back? You know, she's got the NWA World Women's Championship, Shine Championship, Wonder of Stardom Championship, GCW Women's Championship. I think it's an OPW Women's Championship in there. Ring Warriors, battling bombshells. It's so many freaking titles that I can't even remember all the names. Let's just put it that way. And I don't know. I like this move. It's clear that they're going to do something with Santana Garrett. Stardom likes Santana. I was told she really impressed them during their shows over in California. And since now she has a title, she's going to be brought back. She since has returned here to the United States. And I think she has a Shine Championship defense on December 11th at Shine 31. But they haven't announced the card. So, but yeah, she defeated Io Shirai in the main event of November 23rd, and she defeated her with a roll-up. I don't like that finish. I feel like that's kind of like taking a cheap way out of actually defeating Io, who is the face in just Grand Slam champion of Stardom. I feel like that's a cheap way of taking it. It's not going to take anything away from her, but of course, I'll have more in depth on that in my thoughts. Io is going to challenge Maiko Satomura for the World of Stardom Championship on December 23rd, which is also the same day Aki Yasukawa will retire. So all of that stuff will be talked about in there. And yeah, I'm trying to think of something else.
I do have a question, though. So with Asakawa, like, she's doing clearly what's best for her, which is good. But since you mentioned that you've known this for a little while, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the surgery and that I guess apparently went worse. Has it been a growing issue? Like, I just don't understand. Like, I understand the passion and the love for pro wrestling, but if you get surgery and your eyesight isn't getting better, like, why continue? Was that not, weren't there people around her to tell her, like, hey, this might not be such a great idea? You know, because eyesight, I mean, I think all of us understand eyesight, that's something you really don't want to screw around with.
Well, I think, like that, I would have to ask somebody that knows more about that. I think she could see out her eye, but it's not that, like, it's one of those things of, like, she could see, and then when she would get in a ring and all that fast pace and motion going on, she just, you know, she gets flustered and she can't see that well. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, why does she continue? And I don't know, maybe, but here's the thing. For us, like, hearing something like that, we're like, well, why would you do that? That's putting somebody else in danger. You're halfway blind in the ring. Before she got surgery on her eye before her match with Yoshiko, Aki Yasukawa was wrestling in the ring halfway blind. She had lost her eyesight due to Graves' disease from childhood, and she had a hard time dealing with that and still deals with Graves' disease and so many other illnesses. So for the longest time, a lot of fans that know Aki Yasukawa know her for her eye patch. She wore her eye. For the longest time, I did not know why she wore that. And then when I found out that she was actually couldn't see out the eye, I was like, wow, how does she wrestle? And she wrestled like that for maybe about 2 years. And wrestled so long to where she became the former world wonder of Stardom. And almost a world of Stardom champion if that didn't happen. And I believe she's an artist, former artist of Stardom champion, yes. So she may do, but I think this time around it just, she couldn't handle it. It might have gotten too difficult.
Fair enough. Well, thanks for that breaking news. You know, hopefully we'll see more of it, like you said, in your Ring Bells column. So again, that, I think that covers most of the results from this past weekend. Again, go check it out, pwponies.com/results. We have a lot of them up there. So why don't we talk about some of the shows coming up this weekend? And Jerome, I'm going to start off with Freelance Wrestling, just because it's a promotion. I think they're doing a lot of fun things. They have announced for the, I believe it, yes, Raw Power for December 4th. It is taking place, you know, 9 p.m. Central. Tickets are available. You go, I believe, if you just look them up, Freelance Wrestling, on their Facebook page. But it seems like a pretty fun event. You know, the main matches that they announced, Isaias Velasquez defending the Freelance title against Sugar Dunkerton, Robert Anthony going up against Kenny Sutra. And I believe they've also announced other matches as well, including Colt Cabana and Grotto in a tag team whose name I'm probably just not going to mention, against the four-star heroes Matt Nix and Big Chris Castro. They have Joey Ryan versus Sally Stitches, also Eric Cannon versus Trick Davis, and also the Freelance Tag Team Champions, the N-Words, and Yabo and Ruffo, the Clowns, versus mass character Christian Rose, Malachi Matthews, and Craig Mitchell. They've also announced a dream three-way match with Jerome. I think it's kind of fun. Dick Justice versus Kika Tower versus Darren Corbin, all taking place at the Bottom Lounge in Chicago. So tell us your thoughts about this.
This was originally supposed to take place at the Abbey Pub. The Abbey Pub had a fire in the area where Freelance typically runs their shows, so they have had to change venues, but it is still located in the city. And it is available on public transportation, so those city dwellers can still go see Freelance this Friday night. I doubt that I'm going to be able to make it this Friday, but I will definitely try to make it to Freelance. show soon enough. This weekend, Colt Cabana, Grotto, and Kikutaro, they will be filming Wrestling Road Diaries 3. Freelance is going to be a part of it. And then the next night, Chris, as I'm sure you're about to discuss, they will be filming at AIW.
Yes, AAW is running Saturday night. We have Cabana's crew. It's just one of those things where I think a lot of people have fun with his Wrestling Road Diaries. So, it is the No Sleep Till Brooklyn AIW. That's right, running in Brooklyn, Ohio, which is apparently next to Cleveland. The matches they have on the website: Tracy Smothers versus Grotto, Cliff Compton versus Frankie Flynn, and of course, like you mentioned, the Kikutaro, Colt Cabana, Grotto kind of filming the show as well. In terms of what I think of the, it's different. Again, it's one of those things with AIW, and we discussed this last week a little bit, that it's different. Not necessarily saying that it's something that we would probably want to see, at least some of us on the podcast wouldn't necessarily want to see out of AIW, but it is a thing based. They've also announced Matt Cross versus Alex Daniels, which I believe this has been something kind of, I don't know, I want to say it's been brewing, but they also have the Weird World versus Joshua Singh and Dr. Daniel Rockingham, and one more match, which trying to have it load. Kaplan versus Brian Carson, and probably other matches as well. So check that out. AIW taking place on Saturday for December 5th in Brooklyn, Ohio. If you guys didn't know, Ring of Honor also has a show this weekend, December 5th. It is the Road to Final Battle in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And Jerome, Brian, Ciara, we've talked about this. It's another one of those shows that Ring of Honor, I mean, we're glad that the guys are getting work and everything, but these are the matches they've announced. The main event, Jay Lethal and Donovan Dijak versus the Young Bucks. The Ring of Honor World Television title is going to be defended. Roderick Strong versus Delirious. Matt Sydal versus Jay Briscoe. Bobby Fish versus ACH. Adam Cole versus Kenny King. A four-corner survival match. Red Titus, Cheeseburger, Don Castle, and Moose. Mark Briscoe versus Will Ferrara. Plus Kyle O'Reilly and War Machine. Final Battle is supposed to be the biggest time of the year for Ring of Honor, and it will be. But I don't know, Jerome, this show, I don't
know
what to say
about
it.
It is happening.
Yes.
I will not be watching this show. I'll say that. Chikara's got a finale this Saturday that actually looks really good. So we could talk about that. But really, what is there to say about Ring of Honor at this point that hasn't already been said a million times before? I think it's frustrating to me when Ring of Honor does these things, and they have the potential to be a really good company in 2015. You know, they're never going to be the Ring of Honor of 2005, 6, and 7, but they could still be really good. And the frustration comes when they start doing these things, and they don't really have a lot of roster depth. That's another major problem, as evidenced by, you know, some of the things that are going on this card and others. So it is what it is. It's going to be a show. It's going to be fine. You know, I'm sure they're going to draw really well. And, you know, it's not that Ring of Honor is not a successful promotion. It's just that, you know, Ring of Honor is not, they're sort of the antithesis of what I'm interested in pro wrestling in 2015. I mean, I have seemingly stopped watching the TV just because it's not interesting to me. There's a lot of things about that company that just do not interest me in the least. You know, the Kingdom being the tag team champion certainly does not help. The Decade being prominently featured seemingly every week. That's one of the things. And really just, you know, Jay Lethal's fine as the champion, but there's nothing he's doing that's making me all that interested in seeing him. And that's really frustrating. I don't know what Ring of Honor can do at this point to really get me to reinvest as a fan. But it's they're certainly not doing it now.
Ciara, you know, you keep an eye on Ring of Honor. I'm sure you might even watch some of their television, but this card, I don't know what to say about it. There's really nothing exciting about it. The matches, I'm sure, are going to be fine.
This card is mixed up, jumbled, and I don't know what it is, Ring of Honor, but they're just, I try with them, and I don't know, this year is just so messy. It's no doubt that the matches are going to be good, but it's just the booking and stuff is just weird. Like, Delirious, Roderick Strong, like, huh? Like, it's just decisions that are made. It's just like, what? Huh?
I
How
will
does
say
this
that
go?
there's a chance that we could. I mean, you see that Roderick Strong is Delirious, and maybe Kyle O'Reilly will be in action. Maybe he gets a surprise. I don't. Why wouldn't you just put that out there to begin with? You know?
Yeah, it's just like the weirdest situation because it's like, where does this go with what's going on? Television, pay-per-views, anything. Like, it's just these random booked matches. They've been doing this for the past couple of years. I remember when before they left HDNet and how they would just throw all these random matches on the house shows and stuff like that. And then come TV time, they would throw even more, and it just didn't make any freaking sense leading up to the pay-per-view. It's just like, I don't know. I don't get it. Sometimes they get it good and I'm like, this is a great card, blah, blah, blah. I get where it's going. Then there's just those type of weird matches. I don't know what more they could do with the Briscoes in 2015. Like, I never seen where they were that super interesting to keep pushing. But I guess because they've been there so long and they're still there, you've got to do something with them. But they've got so many young guys on their roster that they can do different things with or push to the forefront, go after the TV title. Instead, they keep going through the same guys over and over. And it's just like, it's getting kind of tiring. And they need to shift the booking on house shows, TV, anything, if they want people to actually watch them when they switch over to comments or wherever the hell else they're going to switch over to. I mean, come on, Ring of Honor. And don't get me started on the Women of Honor. Like, come on.
I tried. I
Seriously.
tried earlier with the Taylor Hendricks comment, but you were good. You didn't take the bait. You didn't take the bait.
I'm trying with them.
But I mean, it's a good point that you make. You look at what Jay Briscoe is doing right now on television. He's supposed to be in a feud with the Deck. Well, Adam Page in the Decade. That is not translated on this show at all. You have Mark Briscoe in a match with Will Ferrara, which I'm hoping Ferrara can kind of show more. That's what you're supposed to do with younger talent like that. But then you have, the All Night Express just returning, and you have Kenny King faces Adam Cole, and you have Rhett Titus in a four-corner survival match with, granted, two really big talents with Moose and Don Cassel, and then Cheeseburger thrown in there as well. But storyline-wise, there's no rhyme or reason for these matches. Bobby Fish versus ACH. I mean, I guess you have Fish going after the TV title. ACH should also be in that, in that division, so that you could kind of say that makes sense. They have Matt Sydal versus Jay Briscoe, the former Ring of Honor champion. Maybe Matt Sydal's time to step up. But yeah, that whole Delirious in, I mean, and come on, guys. We know who's booking Ring of Honor. So why would you do that? It just seems so weird.
I mean, the biggest problem right now is that so many of these guys are just in the same position they always are in. I think that's one of the main issues. I mean, Will Ferrara is a guy who's sort of been in the same position for the last year or so, and that's, I'm not saying that Will Ferrara should be the Ring of Honor champion tomorrow, but he's in the same position he was in a year ago. It's the same thing for Moose. It's the same thing for ACH. There's never any real progress. I mean, Cedric Alexander is another guy who's seemingly been in the same position for the last year or so. There's no fluidity to these cards as well. The guys are sort of slotted in a very specific way, and there's no movement. I mean, your main eventers are going to be your main eventers, and they're not going to lose unless it's in a main event. And your mid-carders, I mean, look at a guy like Donovan Dijak. This is a guy who won the top prospect tournament at the beginning of the year. And what has he done? How many matches has Donovan Dijak won? That's a really interesting question to me. How many matches has Donovan Dijak won since he became the top prospect? A better question, in all these tag team matches, how many times has he taken the fall? That's a very good question that I would like someone to ask, for someone to answer for next week.
I mean, yeah, you look at what Drew Cordero has done with him and beyond, and it's a lot better than what Ring of Honor's done. I mean, granted, he's in the main event with the Ring of Honor World Champion going up against the Young Bucks. That should kind of give him the rub, I would hope. But yeah, while we kind of ponder that question, Brian, I mean, the Young Bucks being on this Ring of Honor card, that makes you excited, right?
Yeah, that match seems interesting but random. But it's just, I feel like we're all just kind of just waiting for AJ and Jay Lethal. Like, in terms of Ring of Honor, that's the only thing that we all want to see, I think. And they really haven't built up anything else to excite you on that card. Like, I don't know. I think you could have done Jay Lethal defending the titles again, like, instead of having Roderick Strong win the title on TV, maybe have him win it at Final Battle. And then, I don't know, just make it interesting. Because when he was holding both belts, it was so interesting. It was so much more interesting. But then they just gave it back to Roddy. And, you know, I heard the match was great and all, but it's just like same old, same old. But and then, correct me if I'm wrong, did I hear it's Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong for Final Battle? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so why didn't you just build up him and O'Reilly for this weekend to make it seem like O'Reilly's going to either soften up Roderick Strong or maybe do the unexpected thing and maybe have like Kyle O'Reilly win and then you do Kyle O'Reilly versus Bobby Fish or something? But I don't know. You could have done something more interesting this weekend, and instead it's just kind of like whatever.
I want to know what the point of a face versus face title match in Final Battle is.
Yeah, we should throw this out there. That's still all speculation because officially on the website they haven't listed yet, but yeah, it's happening. I just realized that. I just looked on the website. But yeah, I mean, that is pretty much where they're headed to. But yeah, it makes no sense. And I get what you're saying, Brian. Why are you going to announce that Kyle O'Reilly will be in action? Why isn't he going up? And that's what I'm saying. I mean, Brian, you know, why is Delirious getting a TV title shot?
I don't know, but it's just going to be like those FIP title matches that were boring as hell in 2007. You know, like, it's going to be boring. Roderick Strong and Delirious can have like one good match. I think that was it. And then after that, it's just like same old, same old. Like, I got sick of that.
They viewed it at one point, didn't they?
Yeah, for the FIP title, I'm pretty sure.
My God, that was 8 years ago. What the hell happened?
A lot of things have happened, but fuck. I'm really not interested in these cards for this weekend, and I really don't see anything of value or importance to them. Maybe there'll be some kind of like storyline coming out of it, but I don't see that happening.
Again, so. I mean, yeah, I Chikara's way more interesting, and
for sure,
Viva Chikara's gonna have all the details. It's already been recorded. Chris probably has the file in his inbox right now. Go listen to Viva Chikara. They're actually doing some interesting things on Saturday. And you should definitely get a chance to check them out if you're in the Philadelphia area. Can you believe I'm promoting a Chikara show over Ring of Honor? What's wrong with me, Chris? This is what it's come to. This is what Delirious's booking has done to me.
I'll tell you what. You know, you asked that question. I did a real quick check on our friends over at cagematch.net. They utilize a lot of our results. Donovan Dijak's last win in Ring of Honor was July 24th when he defeated Takaki Watanabe, who is now evil. We should mention that. But yeah, you look at the results. He has not won a match since. In Ring of Honor. So
when you say Watanabe is evil, that's his name. It's not that he is evil His name is evil.
My apologies. And all caps, probably. All caps. Right? But then you look at some of the names that Donovan has defeated in other promotions, like Biff Busick, JT Dunn, Chris Hero. It's weird. I don't know what Ring of Honor is doing with him because he's definitely talented. I'm not saying that he's not a little rough around the edges. He still has, you know, time to grow, but still, it's kind of weird. But yeah, you know, I will bring that up. There was some news over this past weekend also that, guys, did you know that the Evolve Tag Team Title Tournament is going to take place in Florida January 22nd, 23rd, and 24th? They've announced all the teams: Drew Gulak, TJ Perkins, Team Tremendous, the Evolve Champion, Timothy Thatcher, Zack Sabre Jr. That's going to be a hell of a team. Chris Hemer versus Tommy End, same thing there. Roppongi Vice, Caleb Conley and Anthony Nice, Gargano and Galloway, and then the Bravado Brothers make their return to the WN Live universe. I guess any thoughts on any of that? Would we crown the first Evolve Tag Team Champions, even though they're technically there are the Open the Freedom Gate tag titles, technically? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, any thoughts from anyone?
I'll go, because this totally reminds me of what they did back in, 2000? What year was that when they did the Open United Gate title tournament? And that was actually really good. And they had those three shows on their first, attempt at, I think it was Go Fight Live, right? I remember that weekend actually pretty well. I was really excited, like, because I really wanted to watch those shows, but I didn't have the money at the time. But you know, if that was any indicator, well, I mean, it's, what, 3-4 years later, but that was a really good, like, book tournament. And I think Gabe, well, depending on you know, certain tournaments, he can book a tournament really well, except for like the Evolve title tournament, I guess. But hopefully this will not be like that. And from what I've read on the what do you call it, Newswire or whatever, on the email, I guess they're gonna have another sub tournament for a number one contender, so I guess that makes sense. So I guess they're gonna have like the four losing teams probably have, what, a four way maybe on night two or something. And then
I don't know. There's a round robins tournament also as well.
Or something. Yeah. So they're doing like the double, they're basically doing like what Beyond is doing, like the two tournaments on one weekend. So it's gonna be really interesting. These shows are probably going to be really great, considering that Evolve's been on a roll, and we recently were one of their shows, and they're just on a tremendous roll. And it'd be kind of interesting to see Tim Thatcher in a tag match, because I mean, the only tag match I've seen was that 10-man tag from PWG, which is ridiculous, literally. And you know, he doesn't run the ropes, so you know, tag team moves are going to be really not up his alley. So it's going to be really interesting to see Tim Thatcher in that kind of environment. Maybe he can actually pull it off and be. Because, I mean, when you don't run the ropes in a tag match, like, that's, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that's going to be really interesting to see visually. So I'm actually kind of excited for that weekend. It's just because of the booking. And, I mean, those eight guys, I mean, the eight teams in there are really, really top-notch talent. So, I mean, how can you go wrong?
For sure. Speaking of, like Drew mentioned, there is a Chikara show going on. Unless anyone else had thoughts on the tag tournament. I don't know if. You guys did, but
once we know more, I think we'll have a lot more thoughts. I mean, look, Evolve has had a great year. They've done a lot of really good things, and it looks like they're getting 2016 off to a really good start too.
Agreed. So, as you mentioned, Chikara has the Top Banana season finale going on this weekend as well. Saturday, December 5th, we'll have the results. There is probably an entire Viva Chikara podcast about that. That should be up probably by the time you're listening to this right now. So go check that out. Like I said, the Grand Championship, Hollow Wicked versus Icarus versus Eddie Kingston, which I think we all, I believe when we talked about it, we all kind of universally praised because it's a three-way between three of the, basically some of the cornerstones of Chikara. The Crown and Court versus the Wrecking Crew, Fire Ant versus Soldier Ant, apparently a Natural Good Time Family, Cybernetico, Chuck Taylor, Drew Gulak, Orange Cassidy versus the Batiri, Frightmare versus Silver Ant, and Battleborn versus Ophidian, Shinron, and Argus. Also, CWF Mid-Atlantic has a big show. Their Road to Battlecade 2016 is this Saturday night, December 5th. As mentioned before, Brad Attitude, he is now a two-time Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion. He's going to be there, but so is the former champ Marcellus King, as well as the 2015 Johnny Weaver Cup Tournament winner Roy Wilkins. So we'll see who challenges him. If you're wondering what Cedric Alexander is doing since he's not on the Ring of Honor show, well, he is the new Mid-Atlantic TV Champion, and he has an open challenge for Battlecade, so we're going to see who steps up to face him. As well as Trevor Lee and Chet Sterling, who are the tag team champions, they're going to be defending their titles against opponents named later this week. Maybe, hopefully, by the time we'll have that information up on pwpunch.com. As always, cwf247.com. You can get tickets. They are $10 in advance, $25 also for the VIP option, and then tickets will probably be available at the door as well. And the last show I want to mention taking place Friday, December 4th, Tier 1 Wrestling presents Rise or Die Trying. It's a really great card. They had a pretty successful Cyber Monday / Sunday sale. I believe it's still – it's not going on by the time you listen to this. But I would still say try to get some of the tickets going out there. As I mentioned before, it is taking place in Deer Park, New York. At the NYWC Sportatorium. The matches so far, Luke Hawks defending his title against Rude Boy Riley. That is a feud that has been going on for quite, basically since the beginning of the promotion. Caleb Conley is going to defend the Full Impact Pro title against Gran Akuma. Kind of funny how that worked out, mentioning FIP earlier. The Bravado Brothers versus Alex Mason and Sonny Kiss. Darius Carter has his Brass Ring Invitational. If you guys listened to the Newsweek last week, you heard him talk about it. Six-way elimination fray at Fatal 4-Way involving Ethan Page, Blake Morris, Mike Verna, and VSK. And as I mentioned before, $10 in advance, $15 events for the VIP, but it will be $15 at the door and $20 at the door. So go check out tier1wrestling.org/shop, and you can get your tickets right now, get them at a discount. And just, you know, just kind of throwing this out there, kind of talking about some of the management. A champion that I mentioned as part of the last promotion, you may be seeing him going in Tier 1 possibly next year, facing a possibly former Ring of Honor champion. That's pretty much all I can say for right now. But Tier 1 Wrestling doing some really great stuff. So unless anyone else has anything else going on, I think that pretty much does it for this week, guys. So why don't we get into plugs, unless there's something else.
Well, did we talk about the worksheet?
I guess we can talk about it here at the end. Jerome, you're the senior editor. Why don't you lead us off on it?
Why is it my job? You're the host. I guess I could talk about it. So Beyond Wrestling and Joey Janela, as everybody should have surmised by now if you've been following Twitter and some of what's been going on with CZW. I think I mentioned this before after the CZW show, but look, it's 2015. Worked shoots are a terrible idea, and they reflect very poorly on everyone involved. And this situation is no different. I think it reflects very poorly on Joey Janela, who is a very talented young wrestler and certainly has the potential to be, you know, someone in this business. And, you know, I like a lot of what Drew has done with Beyond Wrestling over the years, but when I look at a situation like this, and when you add it to some of the other things that have gone on, you know, going back and forth with Mike Bennett on Twitter and sort of turning that from a shoot into a work, and, you know, everything that went on with Kimberly and Chris Dickinson, and, you know, some of that was obviously overstated in a major way. You know, this is not the thing that I don't think anyone wants to see this, because if you're not in the know, so to speak, and if you're not someone who really follows the business side of wrestling, which there are a lot of people who just don't care about, you know, that aspect of it. There are people who are going to FET who go to FET because it's a great show. And, you know, I'm sure it's the same for PWG. I'm sure it's the same for AEW. Brian, you know, how many people do you hang out with at PWG shows who go to a Pro Wrestling Ponderings or Voices of Wrestling and embrace wrestling in that way and aren't just going? I mean, most of them are just going to PWG because it's a cool show, right?
Yeah, it's like the people I hang out with, they're very much PWG fans, not necessarily indie wrestling fans. So, like, whenever there's a new guy, like, who is this guy? Like, when, like, Biff Busey first came in and things like that. So,
right.
Say it's about, yeah, 50-50, maybe even 60-40, 40 being the insider crowd. So, like, me personally, like, I know there's, like, Twitter beef between these two, but I don't even know the nature of it. And I just don't care.
There was something that went on, allegedly, and, you know, the former TMZ guy, Ryan Satan, became involved in this, and, you know, I'm certainly not a huge fan of some of the things that he's done. I mean, he's, you know, he got himself all worked up about an AJ Styles NXT picture that was obviously photoshopped, so you really can't trust him. He's not a reliable source, but even he was mentioning just how silly this was, and again, it's a poor reflection of what this company can be about. And, you know, it's unfortunate that this is what we're discussing and not, you know, some of the great things that have gone on. And, you know, Beyond Wrestling, they're going to be running their last show at FET at the end of December. The reasons have not been publicly stated, so, you know, we really don't know exactly what is going on there. And, you know, I like to see Beyond succeed, and I like to see a lot of the wrestlers, and, you know, you look at some of the guys that have come from Beyond Wrestling and made a huge difference in the world of independent wrestling. I mean, guys like Biff Busick and Timothy Thatcher and so many others got a lot of their best exposure in Beyond Wrestling before they went to Ring of Honor, before they went to Evolve, and before they went to PWG. And then when I see this, you know, I see some of the things that, you know, people who are not fans of Beyond Wrestling, you know, there are a lot of people who are just kind of disgusted with it. And I can't blame them. Like, if I were in their position and I didn't know Drew and I didn't know sort of the position that they had been put in, then I would agree with them. And, you know, it's even people from the Pro Wrestling Pondering staff that I see, you know, saying this stuff. I mean, Barry Murphy, who is someone who, you know, obviously follows Chris and I, and he's obviously been a part of the website for quite some time. You know, even he's saying things about this Beyond situation that are not positive. So, you know, like I said, it reflects very poorly on them, and it's not what we should be discussing. When Beyond runs shows, the only thing we should be discussing, quite frankly, is how good the shows were, and we haven't been able to do that because of some of the silliness. That's all it is. It's silliness, and it's noise, and it's completely unnecessary. And, you know, I really don't want to discuss it anymore because It's really unfortunate. It's the thing that I hate about covering independent wrestling is just this stupidity that exists. And it's not just Beyond. I mean, it happens in a lot of places with these worked shoot angles. They never work out, and they always come off very silly, and they always come off very contrived. And that's been the case since, like, 1998 when Vince Russo was doing this kind of stuff in WWF and WCW. So that's really all there is to say about it. Today was not a good day on the wrestling Twitter between this news and the unfortunate news about Hanma and New Japan. And, you know, there's some stuff that you can find on Twitter. But essentially, there have been allegations. Sierra, you may actually know more about this than I do. But there was an allegation from, I believe, Hanma's girlfriend about some domestic violence that took place in their relationship. Sierra, am I getting this right?
I haven't heard about this one. Is his girlfriend one of the Joshis or something?
Yes, someone, I believe, for Big Japan.
I haven't heard about this one.
Okay, so Sierra's obviously going to have to do some research, but if you go on the internet and you search it, and you go onto Twitter, it's been the chatter. It's really unfortunate. It's the things that we hate talking about, but it's the reality of what we have to do. Sometimes that life extends beyond the world of wrestling and beyond the four sides of the ring. It's not something I enjoy discussing, but, you know, here we are discussing it. So I know I'm supposed to get into plugs. You can just follow me, twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor. And my voice is pretty well gone by this point, so I'm going to stop talking and let Sierra and Brian carry the rest.
There you go. Yeah, like you mentioned, some unfortunate stuff in wrestling going on. But let's end it on the high note. Sierra, what do you have coming up?
Well, of course, I have the Ring Bells Roundup this week. It's back this week. I took off last week. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Of course, all the Stardom stuff, Aki Asakawa, Santana Garrett's title win. Hopefully they announce the Shine 31 card and I can throw that in there while I'm talking about Santana. Also going to be talking about Queens of Combat title change. Another title change happened over in California over the weekend. Got a lot of stuff. I might be talking about Divas. I don't know. I ruled them out, but something happened on Raw and I might throw that in there. Another weird thing about the Ring Bells Roundup, I was putting stuff together. And I see the announcement about Candice LeRae is going over to Japan for the first time next year. And I said, first time? And I went digging in her cage match archives and everywhere else. And this is going to be her first time in January going to Japan ever. And that's kind of amazing to me as Candice LeRae has been wrestling. She's never got to go to Japan. So congratulations, Candace. So that's all the stuff you guys got to look out for. It's going to be rather long this week. Just to let you guys know, it's 2 weeks worth of news. So check it out when you guys get a chance.
Well, always one of the more featured columns on the website. So we definitely appreciate all the work you throw into that. Brian, I know PWG is not for a couple weeks, but what are you doing to keep yourself busy?
Well, I guess I got to find out about this Honda situation now. It's kind of a downer, but that might really change things because it seemed like him and Togi Makabe were in line to win the current New Japan Tag League. But if these allegations.
Honma's probably done.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That changes a lot of things then.
I mean, if these allegations are anywhere close to true, and I'm sure that this is something that's going to have to be worked out. I mean, Honma's got sort of a cagey past anyway with connections to the Yakuza. I don't foresee him being in New Japan.
Wow. That's kind of some big news right there to end the podcast on, too. So we'll find out more next week, I guess, and I guess we can talk about it a little bit. But, yeah, I'm Brian DeBrain on Twitter, and if you want to hit me up for some graphic design work or whatever, you can check out our store, redbubble.com/people/PWPondering/shop, and check us out, and I'll be probably representing one of the shirts when I go to PWG. In 2 weeks. And next week, of course, I think we'll probably have a little bit of a preview for the PWG shows. We didn't really talk about the cards yet, or at least not too much. So we can talk about that next week. And
I mean, I do believe we talked about them when the news hit. So.
Right. And I guess for next week, what, do you guys want to do a review? Are you feeling it or not?
Yeah, we should probably do a review. I kind of want to figure that out, though. What show we want to review?
I kind of want to rest, so I'm just putting that out there. But
Go ahead.
You want to just pick a random number? Because I think we should pick after when Prince Devitt left. Because that's kind of like, that seems like the more modern product. You know, like post-Devitt. You know what I mean? So I don't know if you guys want to pick a random number between, like, what was that show? The one on YouTube is, I think, it's 13. So let's pick something between 14 and whatever it is. What, I don't know the late. I think 23, maybe? Let's just pick a random number.
17.
Okay, so we're going to review Progress Wrestling Chapter 17. We have no idea what's on the card, but I guess it's kind of the fun of it. So,
all right, here we go.
Drum roll, please.
I mean, there is this fun thing called the internet. We could look
what's
up.
What's the internet?
I got to type.
Explain to me the internet.
I don't know how to explain the internet. So, but actually, I did just do a quick thing. It does have Dave Mastiff versus Tommy End. Mark Andrews is Eddie Dennis. Jimmy Havoc versus Will Ospreay. All right, so it's actually one of the better. It's one of the bigger shows because I know that's a big rivalry they've had going on in Progress.
Yeah, this is a big test. I was impressed with. I've seen Jimmy Havoc wrestle twice, and I have not been impressed either time. So
yeah, that could have been the circumstances behind the matches we watched. Because the one match that I watched of Jimmy Havoc was a weapons match, and I did not expect what I saw. So hopefully, this will be a much better experience with a Jimmy Havoc match. And him against Will Ospreay should be off the chain. So that's kind of our review for next week. We'll add that to the podcast next week. And I guess that's it for now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I should mention also, just for everyone, because Brian, you know, you always throw out there the Redbubble store URL. And trust me, that's not our fault. But for anyone that wants to remember that short, it's pwponies.com/store. You can now go to that and it will take you right to a Redbubble store. So a little bit easier of something to remember. pwponies.com/store. As always, I want to thank everyone that took advantage of the Black Friday sale for High Spots. Help supported us. As always, I believe you can still take advantage of it. I know that it's probably ending, I think, Monday, but I believe they're going to continue the sale on for a little bit longer. Also, as always, check out the discounts page that we have. CZW, Progress Wrestling, Women's Wrestling Network. You can all check out their streaming networks for a little bit cheaper. By using our exclusive codes. So for Ciara, Jerome, and Brian, of course, thank you everyone for listening, and we will talk to you again real soon.